Good morning. It's good to see this number here this morning, in spite of all that are away on vacation and those that are ill. We still have a fairly good turnout here this morning. I want to thank those who participated in the service so far and those who will be participating in the service before it's finished. We need to realize that without the participation of each and every individual that has duties, it would be, well, it would be a nightmare, to put it mildly. So when we have each and everybody performing their own duties, it runs like a clock that keeps good time. And that's what we need to do when we worship our Lord. I want to thank Kevin. I hope that this works. Space bar twice, he said. Hey, look at that. I want to thank him for putting that together. He took that and did that out of an email that I sent him yesterday. So I appreciate it very much. Instead of a handout this morning, this is what you get. As long as we're in this COVID-19 business, okay? So I wonder, have you ever wondered or thought about how you got to where you are in life? Have you ever thought about that? You realize it is not where you want to be, and you think about making some much needed changes, but you wonder where to start, and you seek out that much needed help. You want things to be different between you and God, so you look for that new direction. Well, in today's sermon, we will notice how Jesus takes us from where we are spiritually to where we need to be, realizing that he becomes our spiritual bridge to eternal life. So, when was the last time you thought about the importance of a bridge? What would you do if there were no bridges? How would you get from one place to another if the bridge you had always used was suddenly taken away? In our world today, it seems that many people are looking for a spiritual bridge to take them around some sort of obstacle or problem, to take them from one place to another. And as a result, people turn from one church to another. They look for guidance from a religious counselor, or maybe even perhaps from a self-help book. But in those things, they don't find the help that they so desperately need. They never come across the bridge that will take them to the promised land. But when people turn to Jesus Christ, they find in him everything they need spiritually. Do I hear an amen? All right. They find the solutions to their problems. And they find a safe and secure bridge that leads them to the other side. So please be thinking about the subject this morning, a bridge to eternity. As I present this message, I would ask you to think about what Jesus does to meet you where you are and take you to where you need to be spiritually. I want you to think about the love and help he provides as he becomes your spiritual bridge to eternal life. Now, I don't know of a single person on this earth who does not want to be spiritually right with God, or who wants to be spiritually lost on the wrong side of the bridge. Well, the good news is that Jesus offers himself as the bridge. Taking a person from a condition of being spiritually lost to providing them with eternal life. And perhaps one of the best places to see that is Titus chapter 3. Paul tells Titus to preach the good news of Jesus Christ and remind these people of their past and the changes that God has made in their life. So, as was read for your hearing, let's begin with Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. If you would turn there, please. Follow along with me. Titus 3, beginning in verse 3. The Bible says, "For we ourselves were once also foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Notice the spiritual condition of these people before they responded to the Lord. Look at that. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, and living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Does that sound like a person that you want to be? Well, maybe not, but it was a person that you used to be before you came to God. We realize these conditions describe people who are outside of the Lord. Paul begins by using the word foolish. That means they are without spiritual understanding. They cannot comprehend the spiritual realities of God because sin has its evil effects infiltrated into their lives. And that means these people are disobedient to God. They disregard his commands. They refuse to submit themselves to the Lord. And that leads them to being evilly deceived by the wicked things and people of the world around them. They become enslaved in their pursuit of worldly passions and pleasures. And none of it ever brings about any kind of satisfaction or happiness. Just think about it. You see, that only complicates the matter, as their unfulfilled longings produce an attitude of hatred and envy. For if they can't be happy in life, then they don't want anybody else to be happy either. In turn, others begin to hate them because of those attitudes that they carry and their behaviors. Now, certainly, that is not the way any of us are to live our lives here on earth. And yet it seems that a great many people choose to do so. They refuse to listen to the Lord's teachings and incorporate them into their lives. They don't care about what is right and wrong. They follow their own sinful cravings. Many people also possess bad attitudes and hold grudges against others for no apparent reason. And they live in a constant state of turmoil and hatred. If you are a Christian, you can remember that this was the condition of your life before Jesus changed you and put you on that bridge leading to eternal life. Well, how does that happen? The Apostle Paul tells us here in Titus 3, verses 4 through 7, as we continue reading. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. No longer is your life filled with hatred, disobedience, and pursuit of worldly things. No longer is it filled with emptiness and longing for affection. And no longer are you offensive to God and alienated from his presence. Look at the difference that Jesus has made in your life. Your past is forgiven and forgotten. And now you can enjoy a full portion of God's love. And verse 4 is the bridge that takes you from verse 3 to eternal life in verse 7. It is the contrast between spiritual death and eternal life. As we notice in this passage, there are two aspects of God that make all of that possible. His kindness and his love. You see, God realized mankind had a problem with sin. We recognize that we have sin in our lives and are reminded of that over and over again in the Bible. For instance, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That means nobody. However, there was one person that was righteous, and that, of course, was Jesus Christ. He tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned, that leaves out nobody, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then in Romans 6, verse 23, he writes, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have studied these verses before, and we recognize the implication of that sin in our lives. But sometimes it seems that we stop right there and we don't find a solution to our spiritual mess and the sin that afflicts our lives. We need someone to take us from being spiritually lost and give us a new life and hope in the Lord. God had only one way for people to overcome the sin in their lives, to overcome the past, and to get where they needed to go. And that was Jesus Christ. There was no other way to solve the problem of mankind's sin. And today there is still only one way, one Savior, and one bridge that leads to eternal life. One of the most impressive things to me about God's kindness and love is that none of us deserve it. Do you think you deserve it? I certainly don't. We are all unworthy, unprofitable servants. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul writes, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Well, as parents, we know about sin. We know about disobedience and wrong behavior from our children. Oftentimes, they don't follow our commands and guidelines, so they get themselves into trouble. But good parents continue to love their children anyway. It does not matter what our children might say or do. A good parent will continually offer his love to those children every day. And if we, as good loving parents, extend that kind of love to our children, then certainly God in heaven will love us even more. There are many passages in the Bible that describe God's love for us as his children. But perhaps one of the greatest passages is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Look here at the way Paul describes God's love for us. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Notice something else in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. You and I are not saved by the good works that we do here on earth. We are saved by God's mercy. Our salvation in Jesus Christ comes not because we join a church, not because we give money, not because we do good deeds. It comes because God is full of grace and mercy, and he extends those things to us. They are a gift given by God to everyone who wants to receive them. The gift is his Son, Jesus Christ. Notice something else in verse 5. When we received God's salvation, we also receive the Holy Spirit. I have already mentioned that Jesus is the bridge that takes us from where we are to where we need to be spiritually. But even if we are on that bridge, sometimes problems and difficulties arise. If you have ever traveled on a bridge, you know that oftentimes on the side of the bridge, running parallel to the road, there's a barrier of some kind. And that barrier provides some protection for the travelers that cross over. It prevents them from going off the side to whatever is below. Compare that now to the Holy Spirit, who provides the same sort of protection for us. He is there to watch over, to guide, and to direct our lives as we make our spiritual journey to eternal life. Even though we become Christians and followers of Jesus, many dangers and temptations still present themselves to us. Satan would like nothing more than to draw us away from following God and follow him instead. And all of these temptations and worldly desires are present in order to accomplish that very thing. They can rise up, attack, and consume our lives if we are not protected by the Holy Spirit. Look at what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. He writes there, "The Holy Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Now turn back to John 14, verse 26, where we read the words of Jesus. John 14, 26. He says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you." And next, look at John 16, verse 13a. John 16, verse 13a, where Jesus speaks again. He says, "When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth." Then let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. Here we see that the Holy Spirit even dwells within us. According to these verses, to have the Holy Spirit is to have Jesus Christ. Read along with me, please. Romans 8, 9 through 11. "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." When a child is born into a loving home, that child is not left to take care of himself. There are people in that home who help, who love, who comfort, who teach and guide that child in many ways. For God, in his infinite love and wisdom, knows that a little child cannot make it in this world on his own. He needs that help, that guidance, and that instruction. And the same thing is true with Christians. When our soul is born into the kingdom of God, God will not let us walk alone, because we can't. God knows we need lots of help between here and there. And he provides that help by giving us his Spirit so we can safely cross to the other side. We can say with great confidence, as the psalmist wrote in Psalm chapter 23 and verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Then in Titus chapter 3 and verse 7, "Because of what God did for us by giving of his Son, we become an heir." In other words, we are recipients of what God has in store for us. Please turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, and look at the way Paul describes our inheritance. "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Peter calls us members of a royal priesthood in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And that describes our standing with God. We are somebody very special in God's sight. We may not be very highly thought of by people in this world. We may not be very powerful or very popular, pretty, rich, or anything else by worldly standards. But that doesn't matter to God. He sees us as someone very special, created in His image, and as His children, we are able to enjoy all of His wonderful spiritual blessings and privileges. With the death of Jesus Christ, God left us an inheritance that is far greater than any amount of money, land, or other valuable possessions on this earth. At one time, sin and disobedience brought about guilt and condemnation to this world, and its results were spiritual death and separation from God. But when Jesus became our bridge to take us away from that penalty of sin, we were declared righteous in the sight of the Lord. We were given a reward of eternal life, an inheritance from God, a very special privilege and blessing reserved for all of those who are part of God's family. The salvation we experience in Jesus Christ, which is held together by the guidance and protection of the Holy Spirit, gives us a foretaste of our future inheritance and eternal life. It is something that we can look forward to with great anticipation and excitement. A home in heaven with God, prepared for all those who have been washed and renewed by the Holy Spirit, according to Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. For those who recognize that only Jesus Christ can take them from where they are to where they need to be spiritually, Jesus provides a safe and secure way for you to get from where you are spiritually to where you want to be. Jesus is the bridge that leads you to the promised land. And with that in mind, this question is for you to consider today. Where are you spiritually? Are you wandering around looking for some answers for your life? Are you seeking help and advice from different people and different sources, yet growing more and more frustrated with the answers you receive? Well, if that describes your life, I encourage you to find Jesus Christ. And my prayer is that you will find Him. Recognize what He has done for you and allow Him to become your spiritual bridge that leads you to that promised land in heaven. I don't know what your spiritual condition is this morning, but I do know that you can find Jesus if you will have the faith which comes from hearing God's word, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And through that faith, you will believe that Jesus died, was buried, and arose from the grave, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. You will understand that you need to publicly confess Christ to be the Son of God, Romans 10 and verse 10. Repent of your sins, and be immersed in water for the remission of those sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. And then finally, you must remain faithful until you die so you can cross over that bridge and receive your reward in heaven. Revelation 2, verse 10b. That's what I've been talking about today. If you need to respond to the gospel, or if you have sinned and need the prayers of the congregation this morning, or you have any other spiritual need, why don't you come as we stand and sing the song that Kevin has selected for us?